Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Mandalorian. This is the way.
Dewey. This is Dewey.
I put on a Boba Fett mask the other day, and I was the Dadalorian. I
saw that. That was pretty funny.
Like the Wookiee mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Wookiee mom?
No, much more than that.
Chewbacca mom.
God. I haven't had a reference on her in this show in years. Remember that episode we did? I went off on her?
Yeah, dude.
Fuck that, man. Her 15 minutes of fame. What makes her so goddamn funny? Laughing at her stupid fucking mask, and she gets all this free shit from Kohl's and all this other crap.
And she gets appearances at Astros games?
Fuck her, man.
All you had to do was put on a Wookiee mask. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She had the Wookiee mask on. Oh, my God. Mm. It laughs.
Yes. Yeah. So, anyways, how was your week? It was post-Thanksgiving
episode. Mm-hmm. Post-Thanksgiving.
Yep.
My week was okay, and then rather crappy, in a literal sense. A little tummy virus that hit me like at Wednesday at 3 a.m., and me and the toilet became best friends for about 8 to 10 hours.
There we go.
Cleansed your system, huh?
Yeah, I'm saying. Some awful things happening there that I don't want to talk about.
Nice.
And, stomach viruses, aren't they the worst, though?
They are.
You can be the strongest person, and that stomach bug hits you, and it just knocks you the fuck out for 8 to 10 hours. It's like they're miserable.
Yeah, they are.
And it's just like, and then all of a sudden, it just sort of clears up, and you're like, okay, I feel better.
So you didn't get to enjoy your dinner?
Not as much as I'd like. I did manage to go to my mom's for Thanksgiving, and she cooked, and I ate a little bit, but no, I didn't get to enjoy it like normally. I spent a lot of time sleeping on her futon in her back room while the kids played, and but we're supposed to have like a leftovers lunch on Sunday for my sister. My sister went to Baton Rouge for Thanksgiving for her husband's family. So they're coming back through on Sunday to go back to Austin, so we're supposed to have lunch. So by the time you guys hear this episode on Monday, I will have had a Thanksgiving leftover lunch on Sunday.
Nice.
So, you know. But
that's good. That way you don't waste any food.
Yeah.
I cooked a feast, a Thanksgiving dinner feast, for the household of my family. I didn't invite any cousins or half-brothers or half-sisters or, you know, aunts or uncles. It was just me, mom, dad, brother and sister, and, you know, their spouses. And I cooked roast beef instead of turkey because my mom hates turkey. Oh, well, she doesn't mind it as long as it's cooked well, but she's always had bad experiences with other people's turkeys. It's either too dry or not cooked in a flavorful way. You know, so I cooked roast beef. It came out perfect. Medium rare throughout the whole thing.
That's awesome, man.
Or medium.
I saw your pictures. It looks really good.
Yeah. And made mashed potatoes from scratch.
Nice.
I was proud of that. And had an argument with my dad, who's never cooked mashed potatoes ever in his life. And he's telling me how to cook mashed potatoes.
That was funny.
Yeah. Jeez, he's such a control freak.
You gotta put it in the microwave.
Yeah, you gotta put.
What you gotta do?
You gotta put 3 pounds of potatoes in the microwave for 10 minutes.
Doesn't every great recipe start out that way? You make a steak. You gotta put 3 steaks in the microwave.
Yeah, I know.
Ten minutes.
Yeah, and
nuke the shit
recipe
out of it.
For mashed potatoes I used called for 1 pound of butter.
Paula Deen recipe?
No.
Well, no, but if you're doing. About right. If you're doing,
yeah,
if you're doing about eight potatoes in a big pot, about a pound of butter. That's just a stick of butter.
Well, it's calling for four. Really?
Maybe 2 sticks.
It was calling for every three large 1 pound potatoes. You use 1 pound of butter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just any butter. You have to use European style butter.
What about Irish butter? Irish butter is really good.
I don't know. I can't
tell. That Kerrygold butter? Oof. Stuff's good.
Yeah. But it's extra creamy, I guess, compared to regular butter. Cooked gravy from scratch.
Nice.
And, took me, 3.5-4 hours to cook all that. And, yeah, everyone came out happy. There were no leftovers.
That's good.
Basically. Even after they ate at other people's homes.
I made my potato salad for a Friendsgiving at the church, and everyone loved it. Of course, you guys both had my potato salad. I do some good stuff with really potatoes. And then my mom just believes in cooking most of everything, so she made the turkey, she did the potatoes, and she did the green bean casserole. And we had some people bring sides. My aunt makes the best yams ever.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge yam fan.
Me neither.
But it tastes like dessert.
I like yams.
Tastes like a dessert whenever I have it. Doesn't even taste like yams.
My sister brought her cheesy mac with some jalapenos.
Oh, nice. Jalapeno mac.
I bit into it. I looked at her, is there Velveeta in this? She says, yeah, I cooked it in half an hour. I'm so proud of myself. I looked at her, it's like Velveeta, huh? Well, I didn't say it to her face.
You caught her out.
Nice.
I called her out. It was like, okay, yeah.
Like, you got to use that cheese from the can.
Yeah, no. Or from the bag at least.
Yeah.
You know? But, funny. That's just me.
Cool. Now that we made everyone hungry at the beginning, this is now the Rebel Radio Food Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, Thanksgiving's a good time. But also, man, you know, the way things are done now, you know, people start getting Christmas commercials right after Halloween. It feels almost like Thanksgiving is like just like the interlude in between Halloween and Christmas now.
I thought about that,
you know,
the other day.
It's not as big as it used to be. You know, it's still big, I guess, but it just feels like it's just sort of there to get us over till Christmas, you know?
I was thinking about that on Thursday.
Get us to Star Wars.
Yeah. Part of me felt like, okay, you know, is Halloween like the redheaded stepchild of holidays in the back end of the year? And I was like, you know what? It might be Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people don't really focus on it until like a week before. And then once it's gone, it's gone. Then you've got Black Friday and then Christmas.
People are like, oh shit, I got a Christmas shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in, like Long said, in this case, December 19th for The Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Our early Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot wait. About a little less than 3 weeks.
Is it now? Yeah.
Should be groovy.
Groovy, baby.
2 hours and 21 minutes, I think, is what they said the final runtime is. 221?
228.
Is it? I thought it was somewhere in there. So, yeah.
220-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit shorter than The Force Awakens by like a couple minutes, I think.
Okay.
Or Return of the Jedi. I guess Return of the Jedi is the longest one.
Mm.
So, yeah. So, cool beans.
Cool beans.
But that's, yeah. And other than that, before we get into today's show, we launched our Patreon. It's been going a month now. First exclusive episode coming in January. And possibly a little exclusive episode for those Patreons on Christmas if they're good boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
If they're naughty, they get nothing.
I thought you were going to make an appropriate joke there for a second.
No, no.
Darn it.
That's the way you think I was going to think.
Yeah.
That's the way I thought. Did that make sense?
That was kind of like Princess Bride, where, oh, you thought I was going to do this, but I knew you were going to think I was going to do this, so I, in fact, did that.
Princess Bride.
Yep.
That movie might be coming soon.
It could be.
Foreshadowing. Yeah. But go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com and join our Patreon. We appreciate it. There's three different tiers to get some cool exclusive stuff. I already have the exclusive stickers made, so I can start mailing those out soon.
Nice.
And we got to get some buttons made here after the first of the year and get those sent out to the Patreons also. So some cool stuff coming from the Rebel Radio Podcast, and join our Patreon. Give us your money! No, I'm just kidding. But no, we really do appreciate it. So let's get into today's show. Let's do Download This, where we tell people what we streamed, watched, checked out this week. And in a few moments, our weekly Mandalorian recap. So what did you guys check out this week? Anything new?
I downloaded Shadowkeep from Destiny 2. And I watched Return of the Jedi. And I watched Tron Legacy.
I was tempted to watch that all week since last week.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to watch it, though.
It was good. Playing Destiny again.
Two. Oh.
It's a cool little expansion. I felt like I overpaid for it. It's like $40.
Wow.
I feel like the way my cousins are talking about Fallen Order, that I should have just added the $10 onto it and basically bought Fallen Order. But they told me I wouldn't see my family for like months after I started playing that game.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's that good. And I was like, I believe you. It looks really good. The trailer looks awesome. So what about you?
That's it?
That's it. That was just three things.
It's been a busy week, yeah.
All three of us work in a busy industry for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Number one grocery holiday.
I had to ride a truck.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you were riding shotgun.
I went to one of the Kroger's to deliver a case.
Oh, really?
And it was a Kroger's near Katy, and the receiver was Cindy.
Oh, 733.
Yes.
That's off of 99.
Man. Yeah. She's crazy.
Yeah, she is. Old. She's like, I've been here since the cows have been here.
Yeah.
She talks a lot of crap.
She's like saying, if I ever get robbed, I'll shoot him.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, even if it's a six-year-old, I'll shoot him.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, okay, boomer.
Yeah, she's nuts. I had her for a few years. She likes me. If you would have been like, do you know Matt Childs? Oh, I love Matt. Can you get him back over here? Do you know him? Like, no, sorry, Cindy. Yeah. I left for a reason.
She doesn't like you.
You were one
industry.
Of them.
But anyways, what did I do this week? I don't even remember what I'm drinking. I probably had like 3 rounds of this Jack.
Damn. Yes, Apple Jack.
Apple Jack. Yeah.
They have the listener knows that
Jack,
Mark has had
Jack Daniels.
Jack, probably just cracked.
You're
it
the designated
out.
Driver.
Yeah, you're
don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm man. Sleep on my fucking porch.
Anyways, I'm trying to remember what I watched. Well, I know I watched something.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
No, I didn't.
It's a good Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah. I didn't get to see that one yet. Although I did see it at Best Buy. I did shop at Best Buy, and I bought Alita Angel
there
for
go.
$9. And I bought John Wick 3. And Expendables
Ooh.
1, 2, and 3 in the one little...
nice
Blu-ray set. It was only for $10.
That ain't bad.
No, not bad at all. I've always wanted to see. I know part 3 probably isn't that good, but I'll watch it anyways for the actors.
I liked
that
it.
Are in it.
Mel yeah. Gibson. Mel Gibson's the bad guy.
I don't really like any of those movies. Especially yeah. me.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
And I love action films.
That's okay. You don't have a soul,
action.
Baby.
No, I love action films.
What's
love
it like not
stars.
Having a soul?
So okay, no. Here's my thing with this. I don't have a problem with the stars being it, and I get what they were trying to do with them.
Practical
with all
effects,
these stars
mainly.
In one. But, like, to me, that's still no excuse for poor writing and poor plots. And that was my problem with those films. I just felt they were poorly put together. Let's see, how many action stars we can get
Well, the first one was the best
up?
One, I thought.
You know, well,
yeah.
Arguably, yeah. But
well, Stone
I
Cold.
Just felt like that's.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was still no excuse. And,
didn't. Yeah.
And you know and.
Stallone directed that one, didn't he?
He did. He might have done one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, the first one.
And Arnold was still in office, so he did a cameo.
Yeah.
That's whenever he just walked in, he's like, "Yeah, my friend, he likes the jungle, so maybe you could give it to him." Yeah, it's a joke. It's a. Then he just walks away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great, Matt. gosh, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to dig deep. Well, I know there's
deep.
Something. You go ahead and talk.
Well, I watched. I did some rewatches too. I watched A New Hope, the original Star Wars on Disney Plus. Even though I own the fucking movie, watched it a bunch. I just felt like watching Star Wars, and mostly because I was curious about the McClunkly, or however you say it. See, it's pretty funny to hear Greedo say that. And I guess they. The lightsaber fight between Obi-Wan and Luke, Obi-Wan and Vader at the end, they do color the lightsabers in more. You could tell that. So
yeah.
It looks like they cleaned that up some.
And I think you talked about this in last
did
episode.
I?
Yeah, you did.
Maybe I did.
Yeah, you did.
I
was
don't know if I watched it since then.
Because I was re-listening to the last week's episode a couple hours ago while I was on the
Maybe
road.
Maybe I mentioned that they did that, but I hadn't watched it yet. So
yeah.
I did watch it during the week.
Yeah.
And I rewatched the Christmas Chronicles yesterday. Kurt Russell
nice.
Is still the best Santa Claus ever.
Oh,
show.
Can't wait for a second.
On Netflix?
You haven't seen it on Netflix?
No.
It came out last year at Christmas. It's great.
Really?
It's Kurt Russell as Santa. That's all you need to know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the movie itself is sappy, cookie cutter type story.
Yeah.
But it's Kurt as Santa makes the movie.
And he does like an Elvis bit.
Yes. Dude, it's worth it just for Kurt as Santa Claus.
Well, actually, I saw last weekend, I did watch some wrestling. But it was significant because it was like the first ever women's war games type match where it's like a double steel cage and two teams of women just slug it out. It's pretty violent. But and then the Survivor Series. No, but I did watch the Steve Austin interview of The Undertaker.
Nice.
Yeah, that was very fascinating because The Undertaker doesn't interview anyone ever. But Steve Austin did a really good, thorough background in the history of all the things that how the wrestler The Undertaker became The Undertaker and how he was a, you know, introduced to it by watching Houston wrestling on TV.
Yeah.
And how much of a wrestling nerd The Undertaker was. This big, tall, redheaded guy, you know, trying to break into the industry, and like a wrestler trying to cheat him out of his money, you know, and all that. But it's really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I watched.
Oh, and,
I cooked a lot.
I watched on Disney Plus, I watched Up. I don't know, with the kids one night, they felt like watching it. And, you know, man, I think Up is sometimes, it might be one of Pixar's better films.
Yeah.
It doesn't get enough
credit. Good story.
Very good story.
So solid, yeah. The story is so well done and so well put together.
And the dogs is comic relief. And, really good.
And I think it sometimes doesn't get enough credit. I think everyone gets lost in the Toy Stories and Finding Nemo's, but Up is really, really good.
Yeah.
Emotionally, too. It's such an emotional story.
Yeah.
And
it is.
Yeah. One of their better, might be one of their better movies that doesn't get enough credit.
Did you like WALL-E?
It's grown on me the more I watch it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it when I first saw it, but the more I watch it, the more it's a grower movie. You kind of have to watch it and pick up on things and all that. And
yeah.
The only thing I really wanted to watch this week, I got to set aside 3.5 hours to watch The Irishman. It's going to be hard. I might have to watch
it. Oh, that's what I watched.
And I might have to watch it in 2 nights. So you didn't get it
watched? I watched it.
Well, you have time to sit and watch 3.5 hours.
I watched it. Yeah. And it was the quickest 3.5 hours.
I heard it's great.
The pacing is well done. It's an excellent movie. It does live up to the critical hype.
Yeah.
And it did grant my personal wish of seeing Joe Pesci and Pacino in a scene together.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's a plus.
And Pesci is a very understated performance. Not hot-headed like his usual role. Pacino is the one that's the hot-headed one in this movie. And De Niro's acting in this is very nuanced, very subtle, he was not phoning it in.
Yeah.
He could tell he was putting his heart into it. But Pesci was really good too, you know. He was very menacing, but very regal. Yeah. That's the word. You know, for
I'm anxious to see it for sure. Is that a fun time?
The minute you start watching it, for me personally, the pacing of the movie is so well done that it'll breeze on by because the story was so compelling, the writing and the acting, the chemistry between all the characters. Yeah,
Cool. Yeah, I can't wait to watch that one. So let's do our weekly Mandalorian recap then. Episode 4 hit today on the day we're recording. And it's another win-win all around. This show, you know, by now people are aware of that. The Mandalorian in the first episode, he comes across a bounty. And it turns out to be a baby Yoda-like creature. And so now he has taken on this quest to protect this creature because he's not sure. For some reason, he just feels called to protect it because he doesn't want anything bad to happen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 4 episodes in, we're past spoilers. Plus, people, you can't go on the internet without seeing something about Baby Yoda right now.
For sure.
Hasbro rushes to get merchandise in the stores and everything for the Christmas holidays. And get your Baby Yoda plushes soon, folks. But
they better find a fast boat from China to ship all those toys.
But this show, man, it continues just to hit all the right notes as far as feeling like Star Wars, you know, the Star Wars we grew up with.
Yeah.
The Star Wars that we always wanted to be. Very Western, spaghetti Western influence. Very
Samurai influence.
Samurai influence. I mean, this show is hit on Lone Wolf and Cub, Hard Boiled, Seven Samurai, The Magnificent Seven, which was inspired by Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
All these different, obviously Clint Eastwood Westerns, all in just 4 episodes already.
Yeah.
And we have 4 more to go. So what do you guys think about episode 4, though?
I liked it. I like that there's increasing action, and we finally got to see Gina Carano's character.
Cara Dune.
Yes. And, man, I have not been disappointed yet, and I feel like every episode, you know, is just better and better in some ways. Just because, I mean, you're just anxious to get that next part of the story, and then, you know, boom, Friday hits, and man, you're on it trying to... You know.
Well, I do think 3 was better than this episode, just because the Mando's flying in and stuff. It's hard to top that, you know.
Yeah.
But so I don't know if I'd say it got better this time, but it stayed that level we're expecting from the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it a lot too. But yeah, I have to agree. I did like 3 a little bit.
It's hard to top Mando's flying in to save him.
Well, not just that, but the the personal moral struggle that I liked in the third one.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. It's more intimate and more intense in the third one to me.
Yeah.
Fourth one was more of a, you know, an homage type episode.
Right.
Because, and eventually you'll see the Seven Samurai and you'll see all the story beats in it. So
I like it too, just because every episode just has that really great Star Wars moment in it. Like if it's him with IG-11 in the first one, to in the second one him chasing down the Sandcrawler, to the Mandos flying in the third one, and this one to them bringing down an AT-ST.
Yeah,
like you do in a video game and stuff. And I think that's what's making this so great. It's like there's just these little wonderful Star Wars moments in every episode that just makes our 4-year-old selves smile. You're like, wow, that's really cool. You know, that's what we grew up watching.
Yeah,
and something that you know. I don't knock the prequels too hard. I take them for what they are. But I can never pinpoint those moments in the prequels that made me love Star Wars as a kid. And as much as people want to knock the post-Disney Star Wars, I get those moments in those. There's moments in The Force Awakens and Last Jedi and Rogue One where I smile like a kid. But I do feel the prequels always lacked those moments. The prequels felt really like cut and dry. Is this what we're going to do? We're going to sell toys. We're going to tell a story. I never felt like the giddy moment. Maybe when Yoda busts out his lightsaber
in
episode 2.
That was
might be one of the few moments, you know. But the one thing about The Mandalorian, though, is it's delivering
prequels every were cold.
Episode. Yeah.
It's all done in CG.
Yeah, they're a
nothing
little
but green
feeling.
Screen.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Not as lived in as the recent stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. But Mandalorian is delivering on every aspect, every episode of the show.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we're halfway over already, you know, so 4 more to go, but still 4 long weeks. And then we have the movie coming out, too.
Yeah.
I thought it ended before the film, but it actually ends the week after the film.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So we have episode 7 comes out the week of the movie, and then the last episode of the show comes out the week after. So.
Yeah.
If you are not watching The Mandalorian on Disney+.
Is it going to tie into the movie somehow?
There's been rumors, but... Yeah, there were rumors that Rebels tied in with Last Jedi and it didn't. So
I remember the rumor you said about The Mandalorian that it's going to make a major spoiler in the first 10 minutes.
That's what they said on the internet.
The internet.
I believe everything on the internet, David.
No, I'm calling you out. I have a photographic memory, sort of.
There's a clone Yoda. Maybe a clone.
It's a clone. Just like in the sixth day.
Where is that bastard at? He hasn't done a Collins Arnold in weeks.
I think he's waiting for like a Patreon...
He completely ruined season 2. That fucker.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Season 2, one episode. Okay, on to season 3.
I know, basically. It was like 3 episodes and he quit on us.
Yeah.
Fucker. Terminator Dark Fate didn't make any money, so he's sad now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's promoting his Black Friday stuff for that really, really expensive pre-workout company. I pulled up
He's filming Jingle All the Way 2.
And it's like, oh, 30%.
Well, there was a Jingle All the Way 2. Went direct to video. But he wasn't in it. It was some other guy.
No. Darn. Dolph Lundgren.
No, I think, was it like Larry the Cable Guy? Who knows?
Hmm.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Put the cookie down. It's my cookie. So let's get into today's featured film. A quite polarizing movie, to say the least, as far as the way people felt about it. Or should it be made or should it not be made or whatever Alan Moore thought about it. But 2009's Watchmen, directed by Zack Snyder. And starring a whole host of people, namely, probably the most famous now is Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who went on to play Negan in The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And some other who's who's of actors that have appeared in things over the years. But he's probably the biggest star. Jackie Earle Haley played is in this, who has always been a character actor throughout films for
a long time, going back
to the 70s when he was in The Bad News Bears. And he's in this. He's actually probably the main character in this as the movie focuses around his investigation of a murder in the film. So I guess I'll summarize this. Started already.
Yeah, slacked off.
The movie is based on the very famous novel by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons, put out by DC Comics, and it was a 12-issue maxi series. And so for many years, they believed The Watchmen could not be filmed. Several people tried to bring it to film in the 80s, late 80s, and early 90s. David Hayter, who's most famous for being a screenwriter and the voice of Solid Snake in the Metal Gear games, almost made this film in like 2001. He even shot some test footage for it, but it was never meant to be. He gets a writing credit on this because they used parts of his script for this version.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this film, it's 1985, and we're in a post Cold. Well, we're right in the middle of the Cold War, post Vietnam, and in which in this version we won the Vietnam War.
And it becomes part of the United States.
And it becomes part of the United States. And
Nixon becomes a five-term president.
Yeah, Nixon becomes a five-term president. He's still a president in 1985. The Russians are really pissed off at us over it. So the nuclear war is nigh, to say the least, as the midnight doomsday clock sits at 2 minutes to midnight, 5 minutes to midnight when the movie starts, 2 minutes by the time he gets into it. And we're in a world in which superheroes exist, or these characters that wear these costumes and go out and fight like superheroes. And don't necessarily have superpowers, as they just have super strengths and intellectual abilities, such as Ozymandias. He's the smartest man in the world, and he's got his body is fine-tuned. And it starts where the comedian is killed in the film, and he's one of the former Minutemen, also one of the Watchmen. And so I'm going to fuck up. I always say Rorschach. Is that how you say it?
Rorschach.
He goes an investigation to see who killed Blake, who is the comedian. And so he starts following the trail to see what happens by following up with his former hero pals, Miss Jupiter, the Night Owl 2, and other characters that we meet along the way, Ozymandias himself. And as we go along, Dr. Manhattan, of course, is the big one, who is a nuclear physicist who is merged in an accident with his... He almost becomes a...
God.
A god-like character, like an Adam. And he is one of the Watchmen also. And so as Rorschach investigates the murder, he unravels a conspiracy that could end the world and put us on the brink of nuclear annihilation, because he thinks that it's all a plot to get rid of the superheroes, and finds out that Ozymandias orchestrated this whole thing because he wants it to happen. He wants the world to be destroyed.
Well,
in a way.
Parts of the world. Well,
parts of the world, yeah.
Uniting the world.
Because he wants the U.S. and the Russia to unite.
Yeah.
And so that the rest of the world can be taken over by the U.S. and Russia, essentially. So it's a... the movie was... I've read the book... I think the book is very pretentious. You know, it's a tough read. You've read The Watchmen before.
It's a comic book about comic books.
Yeah, and it's hard to read. It's not easy. It's like reading a novel.
Yeah.
And so it takes time to read. I don't feel either way about what it should
be. I like the movie better.
I prefer the movie version. I never felt like it couldn't be filmed or it shouldn't be filmed. I always thought of Alan Moore as a grumpy old man who needs to chill the fuck out. You know, if you're going to make stuff that's creative and that's good, especially in the medium of novels or comics, there's a chance it's going to get filmed. And you sold the rights. So you have only yourself to blame.
Yeah.
You know, so he sold the rights to this stuff so it could be filmed. And but I do like the movie version better than the comic, too.
Yeah.
And I watched the director's cut of this, which is about 20 minutes longer than the theatrical cut. The theatrical cut runs about 220. The director's is about 240.
Mm-hmm.
And director's cut definitely fixes a lot of small little problems in it. Just little simple lines of dialogue that add to the plot that weren't quite explained in the theatrical version. And the director's cut really does fix a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Especially the background story with Hollis and Moloch, the bad guy.
Yeah.
It fixes a lot of that stuff that's left out in the theatrical cut that makes more sense in director's cut. Like why Rorschach goes back and visits him and stuff. It's all explained better in the director's cut. So it makes a better film.
Yeah.
But I saw this in theaters. I'm sure you guys probably did too.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went with a friend who was a big fan of the novel. And personally, I think the whole thing at the end of the graphic novel where it's a big giant squid attacking the world to unite the world, instead of the movie version, which is Dr. Manhattan attacking, framing Dr. Manhattan to do it.
Right.
That one made more sense to me in the movie than the graphic novel of as Ozymandias creating a giant squid to unite the world.
Yeah.
You know, it seems a little hokey. Even me, hey, I'm a giant monster movie fan. I would love to see that in the movie version. But, you know, I'm like, I think the movie version makes more sense. Mm-hmm. So, I love the visual style of this movie.
Yeah.
It does follow the comic book, the way the comic book is drawn a little bit, but...
Oh, yeah, Zack Snyder used the comics as storyboards.
Yeah, I love the visual language of this movie, you know, and I get so annoyed when I hear people compare Michael Bay to Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
And they're just saying, oh, they filmed the same kind of action. No, they freaking don't.
No, not exactly.
You bunch of...
Snyder has a much better eye.
Yeah, he does. He has a much better eye, and but still,
his coherent storytelling.
Yeah, more coherent.
He's a really good music. He was a music video director.
Yeah,
and you can really see it at the beginning of the movie because it's basically one large
music video. Bay started out as a commercial director.
Commercials,
yeah. So, anyways, we can get into some of my favorite scenes. The whole first act was one of my favorites. Introducing the comedian and the murder scene, and then going into the roll credits with Bob Dylan's music playing against the backdrop of the movie intro.
And the altered histories and stuff.
The altered history, the alternate history. And I love that, how that's intercut with the music. I love Rorschach's initial monologue as he's investigating the prison scenes.
Oh, the prison scene. You're in here with me.
Yeah. Friggin' Jackie Earl Haley is very intense.
Really good in
the movie. Very, very good. And I compared this performance to the test footage that was shown earlier this week. Mm. Did you ever get a chance to see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Ray Stevenson, the Punisher, I guess, from direct-to-video Punisher movie.
Oh, Warzone?
Warzone. Ray Stevenson was Rorschach, and Ian Glenn from Game of Thrones was playing Night Owl.
Oh.
And I know it's just test footage, but the chemistry between the two was off, and the dialogue delivery was not...
It was weird.
It was different. Yeah. A different take. But it made me appreciate the final movie version more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dialogue and the way it's delivered, you know, through the actors.
Well, yeah, because Snyder came on board this film and like right after he released 300 in 2006. And so they spent almost a year casting this film because they wanted to make sure they got it right.
Yeah.
Like, and based on, and a lot of that was because of that test footage. He wanted to make sure that he got these actors right. He looked for the right people. The only one that they ever guaranteed from the beginning was Jackie Earl Haley, because he lobbied for the role. Like, he was a huge fan of the comic and he wanted to be in it.
Yeah.
And they looked for people that weren't necessarily stars. They wanted kind of unknown actors. I mean, Patrick Wilson was a relative star in it, but you know, but nobody major stars. Jeffrey Dean Morgan hadn't really done anything huge yet at this point.
Besides Supernatural.
Supernatural was probably the biggest thing he had done. So, you know, they were looking for actors that were to come into this and be not known but could pull off these parts and fit the parts right. Snyder was not trying to cast this movie just for movie stars.
Yeah.
He wanted to be like they are in the comics.
Yeah.
No, I saw this movie whenever it came out on DVD, and I bought it.
Did you like it when you first saw it?
I did. I didn't get to read all of the book in college. I took this really cool course, and it was a graphic literature course, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And we got to learn history of comic books. Our first day, we learned about Action Comics number 1, 1930, and the first appearance of Superman, and we got into The Watchmen a little bit, but, you know, we ended up moving on to other novels. So this was one of the first graphic novels I ever read, which was originally going to be called Twilight of the Superheroes. And it was eventually going to be like an Avengers Endgame kind of thing. But, you know, they decided to go into a different direction, and this is what we got. You have a lot of people that don't really like the adaptation of the movie, and people that critique Snyder really hard. But I feel like it's an entertaining film. I was entertained.
Roger Ebert's a big fan of the movie when it came out. Yeah.
Well, you know, rewatching this now, 10 years later. I mean, I've seen it since it came out, but I feel that, like, in the current state of comic book films, that this is a movie that I think will be looked back on and probably appreciated more as time goes.
Yeah.
I think people will discover this film and realize, like, this is really well done. It's really remarkably well shot, cinematography wise and style wise. It's really well acted too.
Yeah.
I think it's. I like the little moments. This may sound strange, but like when Jupiter comes to Night Owl's house and he's like, oh, and he like straightened his hair up.
Mm-hmm.
It still has a sense of reality to it, even though it's a comic world. And I really like the scene where they go out on the town just to get out. And she's like, I feel like looking for trouble tonight. And then you see them kick these guys' asses, and you're like, they're middle-aged retired superheroes, but they're still badasses.
Yeah.
You know? Like breaking their arms and all that. So it gives you like this sense of otherworldly superhero movie, but also set in an alternate reality, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think people will look back on The Watchmen and they'll say better things about this in the future. I think future generations will discover this movie and think that it's better than it could. You could almost say, even though it's only 10 years old, you could almost say it was slightly ahead of its time in some ways.
That's fair.
Maybe people weren't ready for, because you got to think the Marvel Cinematic Universe was still just barely a year old, and people weren't maybe ready for something like this. But now they're accepting epic films like Endgame and bigger superhero stories, and maybe this is something that might have played better if it came out now than it did 10 years ago.
That's fair to say.
Before people were ready for it. Because I think it's a very complex film with a lot of different layers to it. There's so much going on here. It's so funny. Like, Rorschach is in the background of a lot of scenes, and I still, when I rewatch this, I see him more and more.
Yeah.
I don't realize how much he's in the movie.
A lot.
And I see him in a new spot every time I watch it. You know, just
he kind of really drives
like
it.
Yeah.
A lot.
No, he's so good in the movie. You know, and you imagine if this came out now, that with superhero movies being more accepted, Warner Brothers might have campaigned this film for Oscars, you know?
Maybe so.
And something they probably, I doubt they did back then, because it wasn't a huge box office set. Had a huge opening weekend, $55 million. Then it just sort of died after that. It finished like with $105, $106 million domestically.
Mm-hmm.
So it died after a huge opening weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I think it had some stiff competition. I remember some huge movie came out like the week after, some kid flick or something that was real big.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I just think that Watchmen is a much better than people give it credit for. The director's cut's especially good. The ultimate cut, the only difference in the ultimate cut is that in the comics, there's the kid is that you see briefly in the movie. Mm-hmm. He's reading these weekly comics, like in a newspaper
strip. The pirate comic.
Tales of the Black Freighter. And there's those scenes in the comic. And there's an animated, they did it 25 minutes of animation, which you can buy on DVD. And it's intertwined in the movie in the ultimate cut. The Black Freighter, and it parallels the story of the Watchmen.
Okay.
In the Black Freighter storyline. That's the only difference in the Ultimate Cut.
Hmm.
Other than that, it's all the same.
I forgot about the Ultimate Cut.
Yeah. The Ultimate Cut showed up on Amazon Prime for a while where you could watch it for free. And I noticed it's not on there now, so it probably could show back up on Amazon Prime, or maybe it'll show up on the HBO Max thing that's coming out or something.
Yeah.
You know, so you can watch it with all the intertwined footage. It's already a long movie if you want to watch it 20 minutes longer.
Might as well.
But yeah, you got any favorite scenes in this film, Matt?
What is my favorite scene? I like whenever there's a couple really good fight scenes in there. It's definitely between the back alley scene and whenever the comedian's doing his thing and he drops down from, you know, Owlman 2, his ship. And
he's such a despicable character, wasn't he?
I liked his little moral, you know. His life is a comedy, and everything is an effing joke, basically.
Well, you saw how he got the role. He came into the read for the role in a bad mood that day, and he was just like, "Fuck this! I don't want to talk to you, Zack Snyder, and all this." And Snyder's like, "Hey, you're perfect."
Yeah.
You know, that's basically how Jeffrey Dean Morgan got the part. Yeah. He didn't really want to do it.
What happened to the American dream? It came true.
Pretty much.
Actually, another favorite scene of mine is when Rorschach and Night Owl, after the prison break scene.
Oh, yeah.
It was that little moment where Rorschach is just being insulting, being ungrateful, and then like Night Owl finally calls him out for being a dick, you know, and then you could kind of see the body language with Rorschach realizing, okay, yeah, he's right. I've been mooching off people while being a jerk.
Yeah, isn't that right outside before they go in Ozymandias' fortress? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like how they kind of straighten that out between each other, you know, and then Rorschach being called out for it, you know.
Yeah.
For some reason, I like that, you know.
Yeah, no, it humanizes them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you notice all the costumes in the film are quite like Jupiter's in her latex or Silk Spectre. You know,
Silk Spectre.
Jupiter.
Yeah.
And Night Owl's is real fancy, and Rorschach has his put together. But Ozymandias, who has all this money and power, has like this really wimpy looking purple black, because they did on purpose, it's modeled after the Batman and Robin costumes.
Oh, wow.
From the Batman and Robin film.
Really? Yeah. Funny. Why?
They did on purpose. They wanted to show that in all this power and intellect that he had, that he just really was doing it for show. Like, his costume wasn't as important to him, because it was all a setup for him. He was setting up this murder and all that. He didn't really care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it was supposed to show that, I guess, in a way that he was, it was all just a gate, you know, just a showmanship to him. He wasn't really a hero, because he wasn't. In the end, he was the ultimate villain.
Yeah.
You know, to frame Dr. Manhattan, yeah, and Rorschach for the murder.
And that's the thing that this movie did too, where the villain won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the antagonist won the overall storyline. So that kind of subverts the hero movie, and it deconstructs the whole mythos of superhero.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what The Watchmen was. The graphic novel deconstructed the whole superhero, the superhero genre.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think the movie, Dr. Manhattan is also, I think, the one character that might be that loses some people in the movie, because some of his godlike abilities, and when he goes to Mars and he's talking about the universe and its real exposition, and I think that might lose people in the film too, is some of the things they do with Dr. Manhattan, some of the anti-religious, possibly, motifs in it, I guess would be the word. You know, and I can see how that could lose people in the film, because I've read some of that where people felt that the movie was anti-religion, anti-establishment.
Yeah.
But, sure it is, but it's not meant to be taken literally. It's a comic book. It's based on a what-if storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if these things were to happen? They're not trying to tell you not to be religious or not to, or that you should only believe in science. It's simply a book that tells a story, and the movie tells that story too. And so I always find it interesting when I read these critics that say, oh, it's anti-religious or it's anti-government or what. Like, okay, yeah, it is, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to take it literally. Just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah. But no one spends, like, millions of dollars to try and get a message across to a certain demographic.
Right.
In a film where they could have, you know, done, like, a direct-to-DVD something.
I always love it when people want to overthink a movie or something. It's just like, it's just a movie, people.
Well, here's something that'll blow your mind. So we all know that Dr. Manhattan was raised by his father, who's also, you know, a watchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And there's kind of some allusions to what Dr. Manhattan would have called himself if he wasn't dubbed Dr. Manhattan by the government.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been called, his superhero name would have been Watchman.
Watchman.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not only that, but it gets even deeper. Not only that he talks about putting watches together. He built a giant watch, you know, on Mars.
Oh, yeah.
And he has the ability to be at several different places at any given time watching people, you know. So that could have been his superhero name, Watchman.
Yeah. Watchman.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Deep.
That's deep.
Very deep. I think
that's a good way to end our Watchmen talk and rate the film.
Oh, I give it an A. That's an easy A.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, especially for the boobs. There, I said it. I brought up boobs again.
They're all right.
I mean, Malin Ackerman has a nice smoking butt. Hot.
Yeah.
She has a nice butt.
They're built for speed.
Yes.
Not for comfort.
That's great.
She is a great looking actress. And
she hasn't been anything since then.
Not I know. She's been
on television. Yeah,
she was on television. She did that Rock of Ages movie with Tom Cruise and all those other actors. And but yeah, she hasn't been in a whole lot. She was in She showed up in something I watched not that long. I don't remember what it was.
Patrick Wilson has had a good career.
Yeah,
he was. He had a lot of horror movies and Aquaman recently.
Yeah, Aquaman. Matthew Good hasn't done a whole lot.
No, you know,
of course. Jackie Earle Haley takes his parts as a character actor here and there. You know,
he was in Lincoln.
Yeah, he was in Lincoln and Lincoln. He was in the RoboCop remake, and he was in
Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Yeah, and there was another movie he did with Michael Keaton besides the RoboCop remake. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, so he's been in a few things. And of course, Jeffrey Dean Morgan went on to play Negan, and he's very famous now because of that.
Yeah,
you know, that's all it took for him was one role as a major bad guy from a major comic book, and he's a huge star. You know, and he went on to make another combo movie, too, when he did The Losers. Which, actually, The Losers wasn't a terrible movie.
That's a good movie, actually. It's a solid movie.
Yeah.
With Zoe Saldana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, he went on to have a good career, too. Yeah. And then, of course, Billy Crudup has been in a lot of stuff. He was Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, I could have sworn he was a voice in a Disney movie.
He may have been. Well, I know he was the voice of one of the characters of Princess Mononoke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. No, you're right.
He was in Big Fish. Yeah.
Big Fish.
Yeah. And Almost Famous. He played Russell, the guitar player. So he's had a good career. Yeah. But so, yeah. Of course, Zack Snyder is going on to make Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel and a few other things.
Justice League.
And
I wonder what he's doing. Oh, yeah. I think he's doing
Dawn of the Dead. Army of the Dead.
Yeah.
Which, I kind of want to see that.
Yeah. I've never seen the Dawn of the Dead movie.
Yeah, his Dawn of the Dead's pretty good. So
it's a good one.
So The Watchmen, check it out if you've never seen it. It's actually really good. I like it.
I liked it.
Good stuff.
This is the way.
This is the way.
It's a holiday week, so not a whole lot of news to talk about. Just a few things.
The Watchmen test footage was released.
Yeah.
The Irishman came out this week. Which is a great movie. I highly recommend it if you're a fan of crime, true crime.
And the Rise of Skywalker script showed up on eBay.
Nice.
Thanks to John Boyega.
Wow.
He left it in his hotel room and on the bed, and somehow somebody grabbed it and it showed up on eBay and it got bids of $84.
Wow.
Before Lucasfilm found it and pulled it off. They're pretty sure it did not leak out. J.J. Abrams let it be known that a copy of the script did show up on eBay. He had confirmed it, and John Boyega came out and admitted that he did it. Why was no one surprised it was Boyega? You know, because he's always kind of that goofy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah.
Ever since he got cast.
Or you insinuating because he's black. No, I'm joking.
Ever since he got cast in The Force Awakens, he has been such an ambassador for Star Wars.
He has.
Yeah.
He loves it. He shows up at screenings of the films. He surprises people.
Make a wish.
He defends
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's living it and he's loving it and it's great. He's such a character. And they say it hasn't changed him. They say he's the nicest guy. He'll talk to anybody. He'll take pictures, sign autographs.
That's good.
He hasn't let it go to his head at all. They said that he has been outside theaters for 3 or 4 hours signing for people and taking pictures. And that's really cool that he's done that. You know, he's been able to keep himself who he is, along with becoming a huge star because of it. And so you could have gotten the Rise of Skywalker script for $84 and had the real thing and
known what happened.
Didn't even know it. Yeah. You know. Man, Long, I know you're disappointed about this. King Kong vs. Godzilla pushed back to November of next year.
One whole year.
About a year from now. I guess they felt that the film needs some work, and they just didn't have time to promote it for a March release. You know, they didn't really give a reason, but that's just my guesses. But I'm going to look at this as a good sign that hopefully they take the time to.
Yeah,
maybe.
I hope they release a teaser during the Comic Con in December 5th.
Yeah.
Or maybe a Super Bowl or something. For Wonder Woman. Anything.
Yeah.
I want to see a Wonder Woman trailer.
Yeah, yes. I don't know what's coming out in March, if there was any reason that gave them to think that competition-wise they weren't ready.
Yeah.
But maybe they just felt because they didn't have enough ready and they didn't want to do a blitz campaign with the movie only 4 months away.
Right.
They felt more time to promote it. So we have to look at this as a good sign, Long, that your movie will still turn out good. I mean, it's Kong vs. Godzilla, at least.
Yeah.
So.
At least it's that.
Fine.
Two monsters.
I'll wait.
I know you're upset.
There's no Star Wars to compete with, so that's fine.
And speaking of Zack Snyder films, Danny Elfman has said that he's now debunking rumors that Ben Affleck and everyone else says that Snyder finished his film. Danny Elfman's coming out and saying the film was never finished because I never finished the score. So I don't know who to believe anymore on this. I just can't. There's enough. There's also the rumor this week that the Snyder Cut is going to show up on HBO Max in March.
Oh, that would be interesting.
That's going to be like their launch thing. Mm. Hey, look, you can watch the Snyder Cut. Because apparently they're testing HBO Max in some markets, and people have sworn that there's a placeholder on there for the Snyder Cut. I don't know. It's hard to believe anything on the internet, even though we laughed about believing things on the internet earlier in the show.
First 10 minutes,
but
major spoiler.
It feels like there's enough campaign on the internet behind this now that Warner Brothers... I know they're seeing it, and maybe they should say something, or maybe Zach should come out and say something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess Zach did. I guess he mentioned that it's up to Warner Brothers if we get it done.
He keeps showing screenshots of you know,
and
of his footage.
It feels like you know, the DC universe has struggled. You know, they've had a couple of hits with Aquaman and Wonder Man. Shazam was a
They've had a roll of solid hits.
Some good films. But it just feels like this is some lifeblood that would help them more than would hurt them, especially if the cut is good. Just put it out there and let people see it.
Yeah.
And maybe a streaming service is the way to do it. You know, it doesn't cost them anything other than put the film on there. They don't have to print Blu-rays or anything like that.
And probably make their money back pretty quick. Money.
Yeah, because there's enough fanboys out there who would just get the HBO Max just to watch it. So we'll see if this ever comes to play. I'd like to see it. I'm curious. You know,
I wouldn't mind. I'd pay money.
Yeah, I didn't hate the Justice League film. I didn't love it either, but I think that I believe that Snyder probably shot enough footage out there to make a to make the film better than it was.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And that's all the news I had. I said it was a slow week.
Yeah, it is a slow.
It's a holiday week. It happens. You know, the other news I had was they announced the runtime of Star Wars. We kind of mentioned that earlier in the show.
Yeah.
So, no reason to be the devil.
50 bajillion hours. Just kidding. 2 hours and 20.
Dude, I would watch 4 hours of Star Wars.
Heck yeah, man.
Rise of Skywalker.
I was watching the trailer, and it kind of hit me. I was like, man, this is the end of the era.
For now.
I was like, there's... I said, how long will we be able to talk to each other about Luke and Leia and...
Yeah, I've been trying to stay away from too many trailers, but I did watch the little clip with the flying stormtroopers. I thought that was cool. Because it really didn't spoil anything.
It's 3PO that gets to me, taking one last look at my friends, because we're taking one last look at our friends on the screen.
Are you going to cry in the theater?
No, I'm not going to cry.
Might. It's okay.
You're crying.
I might cry.
I'm not crying.
I'm in enough to cry in theaters. I mean, dude.
I almost did it in game.
Yeah. You know, so it could happen.
It was close.
All three of us could be crying in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks.
Interstellar almost put me to tears. Towards the end.
War movies always get me.
Even Fury?
Nah, I didn't like Fury.
Yeah. Dude, Glorious actually, it was kind of funny. I was thinking about what you were talking about, because my my roommate started watching Fury, you know, out of a sense of obligation, because his stepfather bought him a copy of Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Not his type of movie at all.
But he felt obligated to watch
it. Yeah, so, man, I was just listening in the background while I was just prepping some food. And I was like, man, these guys are pretty unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unlikable.
Very unlikable.
Yeah.
You know, very nihilistic. And I didn't shed a tear when I started hearing them dying.
Yeah, no, that movie I don't like. Like American Sniper, man, the end, when his kid is like saluting his dad at the funeral. Dude, how can you not lose it, man? It's like, mm-hmm. God, this is sad, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so some movies, you know, that's okay. I'm an old-fashioned person. I can cry at movies. Or a Field of Dreams.
Oh, Field of Dreams. Let's
have a catch, Dad. Dude, gets me every time. You know? It's
like, yeah.
Damn it. So let's preview next week's film.
It's a good thing you didn't drink any booze.
I know, man. I'm going to be crying on the podcast. Hey, considering all the shit I've been through this year in 2019,
yeah.
I've never dropped one tear in the fucking podcast.
That's true.
Manning up, bitches.
Boom.
Yeah. Tough. Got antifreeze in your veins.
So we are going to... play off of our buddies over at Matinee Heroes. They just finished November with 007.
Mm-hmm.
They did a bunch of James Bond films. Salute to Craig and Alan over there, man. They put on a good show. And me and Craig have always kind of laughed about how sometimes we pick the movie, they pick a movie too, and we swear we don't talk to each other. It's just the way it works sometimes. So they just finished a month of Bond. I can't remember which movies they did. I know they did GoldenEye and a couple others, but we're going to do a Bond film. GoldenEye. We have not done a Bond film since we did GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Long picked this film, one of his favorites of the Bond series. We are going to do The Spy Who Loved Me.
It's the biggest. It's the best. It's Bond. And beyond.
Major Masova, Russian agent. Let them get ashore and then kill them.
Mm-hmm. this, Ann, your people get killed. We both know that.
When this mission is over, I will kill you.
Within minutes, New York and Moscow will cease to exist.
There's Anya on there.
I know, James. I'm sorry.
I have to get her off.
How?
British agent in love with a Russian agent.
Your time's running out, Stromberg.
Yours too, Mr. Bond. Yours too.
It's the biggest. It's the best. It's Bond. And beyond.
You aren't so excited, Log.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. That's the point where we pause for the trailer.
Oh, I know.
I don't know how you find these 3-minute, 4-minute trailers
YouTube's
for audio.
Your friend, man.
I guess. Okay.
You should. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you just convert the audio.
No. I grew up watching Roger Moore as my, you know, personal favorite Bond, and it's a fun movie. It's longer than I remembered it, and. You know, who can forget Jaws, you know, and it's a classic Bond movie in every sense of the word. The adventure, the gadgets, the submarine Lotus, and the Bond villain hideout, you know, and if you've never seen it, it's quite the movie to experience.
Yeah, and all of the Bond films are free on Vudu right now, and all of them are on Amazon Prime right now, so... Easy to watch along with us for this week's episode, or next week's episode, for The Spy Who Loved Me.
I love the song, the main song for this, too. It's great.
It's been a while since I've seen this one, so I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to do Thunderball at one point. That way we could talk about Tom Jones and his opening theme song. No?
Yeah.
No Tom Jones?
It's not unusual to be loved, anyone.
But, anyways. Okay, so that's next week on the Rebel Radio Podcast, The Spy Who Loved Me. And possibly we'll officially announce it through our social media this week, but we may be back at Misfit Toys on December 14th here in a couple weeks doing the show. So we'll know for sure here in the next few days. And as always, make sure you go to RebelRadioPodcast.com, join our Patreon, follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and all that good stuff so you don't miss anything that we have going on in the show. And you can even go to RebelRadioPodcast.com and see ugly pictures of us. It's amazing. If you hit the little staff page, I always forget that's there.
Yeah.
And I go look at it and I'm like, oh, I should update this.
Filter.
And the Hall of Fame page will be going up really soon for our Patreon. So if you join our Patreon, you get to be on the website with your name on the level that you Patreoned to. So that's pretty cool. Rebel Radio Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks as always for listening. And have a good week, everybody. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long.
Until next time, remember, just go there and do it.
This is the way.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.